I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I have known quite a few shepherds in my time, and so I'm always struck when we arrive on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, that we still persist in describing God as a shepherd. My brother is a shepherd. I have a couple of uncles and cousins that are shepherds. I have friends that are shepherds. I have a former parishioner that was a shepherd. I've hung out with quite a few shepherds over the years, and most of them are pretty great people. But the role of a shepherd is not warm and fuzzy, as we might picture from the biblical descriptions. Being a shepherd is a hard, harsh, messy job. It's not always peaceful, not always polite, not always easy, not always staring out at green pasture beside still waters, not always quaint, but often hard decisions need to be made, and sometimes there are no easy answers. It's getting your hands dirty every day kind of work. It's mostly a thankless task that for much of society in North America is focused on the financial aspects of running a small business. Is this the best model for God? James Rebank is a shepherd in England who regularly writes about what his life is like, describing not only the joys but the hardships as well. This is what he wrote about this time of year. He said, "I love lambing time. In the long, sodden, and wind-lashed winter weeks, I sometimes daydream of escaping the muddy tedium, but I wouldn't want to miss lambing. I've always loved it, ever since I used to follow my granddad around, helping him feed the ewes in pens of little hay bales, sometimes being given one to help lamb, like my daughters do now." He said, "We start lambing at the beginning of April. In theory, this is the point at which winter becomes spring here, but sometimes winter isn't aware of our plans, and the weather is still gruesome. Snow, rain, hail, wind, mud. By the time I get to the first field of lambing ewes, I'm already wet. The rain is biting cold, and the hillsides are just sheets of water. It's a disaster zone." This, for me, is actually very helpful in how he describes life on a farm. It's not all beautiful and serene, but dirty, messy, and complicated, and unpredictable, and painful, and worrying, and a few other things besides, just like life. A shepherd's job, to go along with that, is not glamorous, only showing up on the sun-shining, beautiful days, but ridiculously hard work. This is so important if we really do hold on to the image of God as our shepherd. This truer image of what this really means is helpful for me. For faith in God is not something reserved for the times when life is warm and fuzzy, but just as much when life is raw and painful and harsh. God is not just known to us in our great celebrations, but perhaps even more so in the dreaded times of life. The God as revealed to us by Jesus, this God, is always with us, perhaps even more so on those dark, dirty, and difficult days. The cross of Good Friday moving to the empty tomb of Easter being the ultimate sign of this promise and commitment and prayer. If we claim God as our shepherd, what does that mean in how we understand God's intimate connection to our lives, our living, and our calling? In the gospel passage for today, we heard Jesus tell his followers, "I am the gate." I puzzled over this statement for much of this week. I am the gate. My worry with this phrase is that it can be used in ways I don't think it was intended. A gate, especially for a field of sheep, can be used to keep things in or keep things out. Too often, historically, we have decided how Jesus is to be a gate, and also say who is in and who is out. Too often, we have decided to use Jesus as a gate in ways that are far removed from how Jesus would want to be a gate. But we have seen this kind of division down through the ages based on skin color, hair color, religion, denomination, education, orientation, power, money, all sorts of things. We've made Jesus a gate to suit our to suit our own fields. But that is not his point. To be honest, I'm tired of a faith in a loving God coming across as anything but this. Our divisions, our creation of scapegoats, our vilifying of certain people has been disastrous in our world. Jesus' point that he is a gate is really saying that he is a gate to life, abundant life. This is what we heard from John's gospel. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Well, what does abundant life look like? What does it feel like? Does it feel like we are constantly living in fear that God is going to destroy us and the planet at any moment? No. You see, I believe, and I hope a few other people do too, that the resurrection of Jesus at Easter means an awful lot. It changed everything. I believe that at that moment we saw God's reign over death, God's reign over evil, God's reign over darkness. We saw the power of forgiveness to overcome anything and everything. The empty tomb of Easter is about God's grace, being infinite and abounding. Our job as Christians is not to dole it out in small amounts to anyone we feel it belongs to. No, no. God is lavishing grace upon us, all of us. Our job is to realize this and awaken to it and wonder and give thanks for it and then live our lives confident and believing this. We are incredibly blessed. Jesus is a gate, not in the sense of some are in and some are out, but in the sense that through him we see the life, the abundant life, the pasture to which God is calling us. Philip Gully tells this story. He said, I walked into the emergency room and saw Benny. His face was black and blue, caked in dried blood, his eyes pinched shut, his lips swollen and bleeding. In the middle of the night, he wrote, two men had broken into Benny's home, beaten him severely, and then robbed him. A terrible thing to happen to anyone, but especially heinous when you know that Benny is a 70-year-old, mildly mentally challenged man, recognized throughout his neighborhood for gentleness and generosity. Philip Gully writes, in moments such as these, it's hard to believe in the triumph of grace. Evil seems far from defeated. He said, I'm tempted to believe in a salvation that includes everyone, but the men who beat up Benny. He said, I had to fight my rage as I tried to comfort him. We talked about the attack, his injuries, the good prognosis from the doctor, and then I asked him if I could pray with him. Benny nodded his head and said through swollen lips, don't forget to pray for those men. He said, as a pastor, I've been witness to great evil. I've heard it whispered at the altar, confessed in my office, announced in a courtroom, and repented in a hospital bed. He said, the horrid details of marital infidelity, child abuse and molestation, embezzlement, murder and rape have all been shared with me. He says, evil no longer surprises me. Grace astonishes me again and again. Pope Francis recently on a TED Talk urged people to live wisely, to think deeply, and love generously. This seems a good description of what it means to live with grace and abundant life. He went on to say, how wonderful would it be if the growth of scientific and technological innovation would come along with more equality and social inclusion. He said, let us help each other all together to remember that the other is not a statistic or a number. The other has a face. This Sunday is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, and we heard that in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We heard it in the gospel where Jesus describes himself as the gate. We heard it in the reading from 1 Peter where he recognized God as the shepherd and guardian of our souls. We heard it in the book of Acts where the first followers of Jesus lived out their faith by devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Or perhaps also described as seeking out the abundant life. God, as known to us in the resurrected Jesus, is our shepherd, guiding us, even us, in our messy, complicated, and difficult lives. God is leading us through Jesus the gate to the pasture of abundant life, true life, soul-centered life. This true shepherd, the one that knows all about the hard, messy, sometimes tragic work of being a shepherd, this shepherd is inviting us to know grace, to feel grace, to share grace, because we believe in the empty tomb of Easter, leading us to abundant life. Amen.